if you can stay with us for another few minutes, Sam, because last night Leo Varadkar told a meeting of business leaders that there will be checks on some goods and animals in the event of a no-deal Brexit, and some of those may have to take place near the border. Well, if there are checks near the border, there are checks at a border. So here we have the Taoiseach now saying checks at the border will be happening. Let's have a listen to this.
There is a significant and growing risk of no deal. We don't want to see no deal, and we'll continue our efforts to avoid one to the very end, but not at any cost. Unlike some, I see no upsides to no deal. And yes, I do fear it, but I'm prepared for it politically. There will be checks on goods and on live animals, and as far as possible, these will take place in the ports, airports, and at business level. But some may need to take place near the border. We're working out the details of this with the European Commission, and we'll inform the public and business as soon as we know what the outcome will be. A no-deal Brexit will have an adverse effect on our economy. It'll cause economic growth to slow, but the economy will still grow. We do not anticipate a return to recession.
Well, Sam, what impact does that have, for example, on the Good Friday Agreement? Is the Good Friday Agreement breached if there are checks at the border?
Well, there is nothing in the agreement which explicitly says you cannot have checks at the border. So I think if there was a simple sentence in the agreement which said that, this would be very straightforward. What we're into here is a debate between largely unionism and nationalism, although it's not exclusively between those two camps, as to what the spirit of the agreement intended. And that's much more difficult to pin down. So effectively, what we're confronted with here is if Britain leaves the EU in a form which means that there will have to be checks between goods at some point, that will either have to take place at what is actually the border, that is the land border, or it will have to take place at the border between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK. So you can fudge some of this by doing these checks in the market, in warehouses, as Leo Varadkar said there, away from the border to a certain extent. But if you've got a live animal and it's diseased, it either has to be stopped at the border or it gets into your territory, whichever side of the border you're on.
Well, exactly. And when Varadkar's talking about checks near the border, that's got to be a euphemism, because there have to be checks. Wherever the checks are being done, it's a border.
That's right. And there is an element of belated facing up to reality here, I think, from the Irish government. The Irish government are not alone, I suppose, in presenting things during this Brexit debate, which really have been pretty fanciful at points. I mean, we have had claims from people like Simon Coveney that there simply will not be a border, regardless of what happens, that Ireland will not do this. Clearly, that was untenable under EU regulations. Yeah. And therefore, this is, I suppose, conditioning people before we actually get to what might be a no-deal Brexit on the 31st of October, to the fact that there will be something and it might build from that. But I think the crucial point here that most of your listeners will be most impacted by is that what Leo Varadkar is talking about here is animals and trade. He is not talking about checking people. So if you're going to school across the border, if you're going on holiday, if you're crossing the border to visit relatives, you will not be stopped. The common travel area means that there will not be somebody checking your passport.
Yeah.
So therefore, this is a discreet border, if you like, for potentially elements of trade and animals. It's not that full-blown border that you would have had in the past.
But it applies, Sam, and let's bring our economics and business editor, John Campbell, into this. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Good morning. So help me out here, John, because this applies to livestock. It applies to goods as well. And are we sure what goods it applies to?
We know that the responsibility of the Irish government as a member of the EU would be to collect customs duties and also to protect the integrity of the single market. And that means stuff cannot get into the single market which shouldn't be there and it shouldn't be authorised to be there. The question is how the Republic's government would fulfil those responsibilities.
Well, they'd have to apply it equally as they apply it to other countries in the EU, would they not? And other countries outside of the EU coming into the EU.
This is the discussion which is happening between Dublin and Brussels at the moment. You look at other external EU borders where there are borders with a non-member state. So you look at Norway and Sweden, although Norway is a member of the single market, it's not a full member of the EU, it's not a member of the customs union. There are customs posts on that border. There are designated crossing points. There are checks on freight. You look at, say, Switzerland and France. Again, Switzerland is effectively a member of the single market, but not a member of the customs union. There are posts on that border. There are checks on freights.
Checkpoints.
Yeah. And then you look at the eastern frontier of the EU. There are much more intrusive checks, much more intrusive infrastructure. The basic point is that every other external EU border has infrastructure, has checks, has some form of enforcement on that border. Would the Republic end up looking exactly like that? I don't think it would. The EU, Michel Barnier, very cognizant of the issues around the border. But what has been made clear by both the EU and Ireland, in the event of no deal, there would have to be checks on stuff. But it's still not been made clear the how and the where of what that would amount to. Although last night and earlier this week, we've seen Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney getting closer to saying, listen, folks, some of this stuff would have to happen probably close to the border. And the big one is around food and agriculture, because the EU has, it's in its laws, food products coming into the EU from a non-member state, they must go through what's called a border inspection post. That border inspection post must be located in the immediate vicinity of the point of entry. The discussion is around what is the immediate vicinity of the point of entry? Is it a mile from the border? Is it 10 miles? Where is it? But that's the territory we're in right now.
But help me understand. Like there are certain things, for example, because of my job, if I'm filming with a camera crew and we're travelling to America, we've got to fill in a carnet and you've got to have all of your stuff checked.
Yeah.
If a camera crew now from BBC Northern Ireland is going down south to film, are they going to be checked at a checkpoint and have to declare customs on it?
You can't rule that out. So a carnet is basically a piece of paper, lists all your equipment to make sure that whenever you take it into another country, you don't sell it basically and avoid customs duties, and you bring it back. And in the old days, pre-customs union, there would have been carnets on stuff moving across the border. It's the same as, say, if you're going to an exhibition or something in Dublin and you're bringing products in, you would have to fill in a carnet. So there is the possibility that over time these things would evolve. So, I don't think that a lot of these things would necessarily apply from day one. What would apply from day one is that there would be a real customs responsibility on the Republic to be collecting those customs duties.
And Sam, if there are customs responsibilities and there are checks, then there've got to be checkpoints, right? So what form are they going to be? Are they going to be checkpoint towers? Are they going to be barriers? Is a little barrier going to open somewhere at the border, and is it going to close again until you're checked?
Well, I think that if we step away from the area of trade and business, which is hugely important, and it's hugely important indirectly for all of us in terms of the economy and our livelihood and everything else. But if we step away from that, because it doesn't affect most of us directly, I think the most legitimate concern around this in terms of the impact on the wider population is that once you get into a situation where you have some form of checkpoint, it becomes a target for dissident Republicans. Then it has to be guarded, and everything sort of snowballs from there. We have this very deep fortification process based on something that ultimately does not seem that significant. So that I think is the potential where this could
go. So it's the optics around it, what you're also saying, Sam. So if you start to see armed guards at a checkpoint, that is a big, big departure from what we currently have.
It is, but I think that has to be seen in the context of not just the fact that at present and for all of the time that really we have been post the Good Friday Agreement, we have had dissident Republicans who have wanted to attack all sorts of targets in Northern Ireland. We at present have got cameras on the border. Those are a target for attack, I presume. We have Welcome to Northern Ireland signs. Those would be something that would be opposed by dissident Republicans. So it's not like they lack excuses or targets at this point. It's just that up to this point, the security forces have been very successful in ensuring that most of their attacks don't succeed.
We can look at something which the...
Let me let Sam go, because I know he has to go, John. Yeah. Sam McBride from the Newsletter, thank you very much indeed. Go ahead, John.
The Irish Revenue Commissioners, effectively the Irish tax authorities, immediately after Brexit, they had produced some work which suggested that what you could end up with is what they called trade facilitation stations, so definitely not customs posts. And these would be set back some way on the southern side of the border, maybe between 10 and 15 kilometres.
Trade facilitation stations.
Yeah.
It's a checkpoint.
Yeah. Set back from the border. They maybe need to buy 8 of those close to major routes. And so stuff could come in there and the clearance facilities could happen there. So that and, you know, there's people I've talked to who suggest, well, that, you know, if in a no deal, that's where we may ultimately end up. And again, there was an EU diplomat I spoke to some time ago, and he said, listen, they're going to have to be checks if there's no deal. We'll give the Irish government every loophole that we possibly can for them to wriggle through, and we'll probably give them a ton of money. But the single market will have to be protected.
So let me give you another example, John. Quite a few people in Northern Ireland have holiday homes in Donegal and elsewhere.
Barristers mainly.
Right. So let's some BBC people too. So let's say that they buy themselves a new stereo system mm-hmm. for their holiday home. Yeah. Have they declared at the border? That's good. Is there duty due?
I think in practice, you would not get the authorities focusing on items for individual consumption.
Well, the authorities might not focus, but would those people technically be legally required to declare duty if they buy electrical equipment for their holiday home in Donegal?
It
if they're bringing a few bottles of vodka down for their holiday home and they're going to have a party, are they declaring it now?
Very often you have, around customs, you have what's called a de minimis level. So basically saying, if you have goods below a certain value, nobody's interested in them, tear away, doesn't matter. So I think that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, you know, get any sort of focus on that initially. What the focus will be on, when you look at what the EU's focus is, it's about keeping non-compliant goods which could be hazardous to human health, out of their market. So they will be looking at, I think, mainly food products at a commercial level.
I hear you, right?
But I should say, on the Sweden-Norway border, occasionally you do have, because there's big tariff differentials and things like butter, for example.
Yeah.
Occasionally you do have private cars pulled over and people check, goods confiscated. Happens on the Swiss border sometimes as well. But so if you had something where that, you know, that situation pertained for a long time, you know, maybe you would get occasional spot checks.
So, again, when I get back and forward my travels, and these wee signs you have up in the airport, if you've got more than whatever it is, I don't know what it is, 400 cigarettes, if you've got more than a couple of litres of alcohol, you must declare it.
Yeah.
Could this technically apply now? If you're going down with a couple of pallets of beer or whatever it is, have you to declare it?
Potentially over the longer term. But like I say, I think anything you got in the immediate aftermath of no deal, they would try to keep it as minimal as possible for as long as the Commission would allow, and the focus would be on commercial traffic rather than actual domestic traffic. You look, say, for example, on the Irish Government's Department for Agriculture website, and they look at, you know, the food products. So, for example, in theory, what it would mean is, in a no-deal situation, you would not be permitted to, like, basically buy a meat pie in a supermarket in Newry and take it across the border, because products from a third country with meat content shouldn't actually travel.
Now, hold on a minute. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to buy a meat pie and
well, you could buy it, but you would technically
be... You have to eat it before you drive across the border.
Yeah, you would technically not be compliant to bring it across. Technically, you would not be compliant, and, you know, there could be the right to seize and destroy those goods. In practice, is that going to happen? No, it's not. Because, frankly, at that stage, people will have bigger things to worry about. And in the immediate aftermath if you had a no-deal situation, I do not see that anybody is going to be stopping private cars, individual travellers, and trying to enforce to that level.
But whether you call them these, what do you say they're going to call
them? Trade facilitation stations.
Right, trade facilitation stations. Mm-hmm. Those are checkpoints at the border.
In the immediate vicinity of the border.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, we're not talking they'll be kind of right on the very bit where the tarmac changes colour, but under the EU rules, particularly around border inspection posts, has to be in the immediate vicinity.
But what I
that's often seen as being 10 kilometres at most.
But what I can't understand, when you're holding the line of they would be in the immediate vicinity of the border, mm-hmm. and Varadkar's saying they would be near the border, where they're being checked is a border in itself. It defines a border. Yeah. It's a border.
Yeah, so what you say, where the checks emerge is practically where the border is.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis.
Okay. Let's deal with Dan's question in Lisburn. Morning, Dan.
Mr. Noel.
Go ahead, Dan.
Mr. Noel, you're doing your best there, William.
Call me William one more time.
Sorry, I beg your pardon, Steve.
Thank you very much.
Steve, you know, anyway, Steve, we already have checks on the border of live animals.
Yeah, we have them at the border between Northern Ireland and Great Britain. That's where they happen.
Pardon?
That's where they happen. All livestock coming into Northern Ireland from Great Britain gets checked at Larne, so it doesn't have to get checked at the border.
I beg your pardon. They're checked at the border. If you look at the a report earlier on in the year where a consignment of animals came through France, through the ports in Ireland, was stopped at the border between the Republic of Ireland and the Northern Ireland, and it's in the headlines in the Belfast Telegraph, £24 million disaster averted at the border because an animal in that consignment had blue tongue disease.
Now, so what's your point, Dan?
The point is they're already going on. And Mr. Varadkar has said in the past, he said, and it proves that this backstop and all is contrived, he said that any checks as far as possible will be carried out as far away from the border as possible, and that ordinary taxes and tariffs would be carried out online the same way as other taxes.
Dan,
and that the common travel area would prevail.
Dan, thank you very much indeed. He has said last night, yes, there will be checks at ports and airports and all that malarkey, but there will be some checks for the public and business near the border, a.k.a. the border. 030 30 80 55 55. Maybe, John, you can stay there for another few minutes because Mr. Alistair is joining us this morning, as is Mr. You have a meeting to go to.
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Richmond is with us this morning as well. Jim Alistair from the TV. Anne-Marie, thank you for joining us this morning. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
So here we have it. I think it was people like you saying the Irish government would never put checks at the border. Now they're doing that, just that. They're putting checks at the border.
I think you're wrong, Stephen. I think I was one of the first people to say that under EU treaties, the obligation to protect what they call the single market would fall in the frontier state. And therefore, if there ever was to be a border or a partial border, it would be courtesy of the Irish Republic, who would be the surrogate for the EU. So I have long maintained that if the EU imposed their own rules, then it would be the Irish Republic that would be the partitionist and would be providing the border. And this morning, Mr. Varadkar, I'm sure, is suffering some indigestion because he had a lot of words to eat, because he was the man that said, no, 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 we'll not have a border. But of course, the truth of this is that Mr. Varadkar's in this mess because he overstretched himself, overplayed his hand on the backstop by insisting on it so as he could break up the United Kingdom. And now he's left with having to pick up the pieces of his own entrenchment.
But Jim, there will be some people who would argue that if it is a mess, it's not just Leo Varadkar in this mess, if indeed it is defined as a mess. It is all of us, that we're all trying to find a way, for example, north and south of the border, for us all to live together, and all of the different allegiances that people have in this country, for us all to accommodate each other. And what do you think it does to the stability of Northern Ireland if you have some nationalists now hearing this morning, and you should care about this, Jim, that from what they see as their country, they are going to now be facing, if they're a businessman, with checks at the border? Like, how do you expect them to react to that because of Brexit?
Well, no, I think they need to ask who's putting up these checks. And if they've any ire about it, let them direct it to those putting up these
checks. It's happening because of Brexit,
Jim.
Let's come back
to the reality. Mr. Varadkar insistently rejected any idea of solutions than the backstop. He said, no, 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 you can't have checks away from the border. No, 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 you can't have trusted trader schemes. It's the backstop or nothing. Well, now he's got nothing because he overplayed his hand.
But the reality is, Jim,
let me finish this point. He has to do the bidding of his masters in Brussels, and provide a check on the EU border because of his own intransigence.
Well, whoever you want to blame for this, whoever you want to attribute blame to this, it is the bottom line is because of Brexit, there will now be checkpoints at the border. Is that good for Northern Ireland?
Because of the democratic decision of the people of the United Kingdom to re-establish the independence of the United Kingdom, we will be a separate country from the EU. If that has consequences, which Mr. Varadkar didn't want to face up to in seeking to find alternative arrangements to the backstop, then so be
it. And do you not care about the potential consequences for Northern Ireland?
The democratic compulsion here is the implementation of the will of the people of the United Kingdom. Mr. Varadkar has plenty of opportunity to discuss and agree alternative arrangements, and now he's ended up as the one who's going to put infrastructure on the border. Partitionist Varadkar, it turns out, because he overplayed his hand.
We're imagining a situation. Sam McBride from the newsletter raised it earlier in the programme. What type of security is there going to now be around these checkpoints at the border? And what's that going to look like? And are the optics of that good for Northern Ireland? You know, there's a tension in Northern Ireland, Jim. There's a toxicity that hasn't been in Northern Ireland. There's a dissident threat that is here in Northern Ireland. Is this really, really the best outcome for Northern Ireland, having checkpoints at the border because of Brexit? And did Brexiteers like you think this through when you advocated it?
Sorry, there's no one talking about checkpoints in Northern Ireland. So put the blame where it belongs. You want to ask those questions, ask them of Mr. Varadkar. But let's be clear, no country should set its politics and its policies in with deference to any terrorist threat. You stand up to, not all over to terrorists. But if there is a threat, then that's an issue for those who are establishing the infrastructure. It's for them to protect their infrastructure. I don't know if the Republic has, in fact, mindset a border post such as that. Maybe they're going to be mobiles. You know, as you drive anywhere across many nations, you will see pull-in points for HGV vehicles to be checked, and it's a statutory legal obligation to pull in if you're above a certain.
But Jim, you know we have a particular situation, and
you make it a criminal offence not to cooperate. I don't know, but that's for the EU and their surrogate, the Irish Republic,
okay. So you have nothing to contribute this morning, then, Jim Allister, do you not, about the unique situation that Northern Ireland has found itself in, that in terms of the history of the Troubles, a divided community trying to live and work and accommodate each other, and the implications of checkpoints at a border right in the middle of peace and stability? You have nothing to contribute about.
Well, I have everything to contribute.
Well, what would you say about that? Well, how would you reach out to your nationalist friends who currently live in Northern Ireland who do not want checkpoints at a border? What would you say to them?
I would say to them, who's putting up the checkpoints? And I would say to the man who's putting up the checkpoints, maybe now you should roll back and should consider the alternative arrangements which were offered to you. Down your intransigence, insisting it had to be a back, which was never going to work. Mr. Varadkar is now showing there are alternatives to the back. There are even better alternatives, but he doesn't want to negotiate. So it's of his making. That is why.
I'm just trying to get you to stand back, Jim, for one moment from the blame game and give the public a mature assessment as to how you think there may be a contribution from you to peace and stability in Northern Ireland for those people who do not want to see the days returning of checkpoints at the border. And this is what the Varadkar, Leo Varadkar, is now saying. So pull back, surely, from the blame game and just give a mature assessment as to what do you think that's going to do to peace and stability in Northern Ireland?
Stephen, you're you're not going to put Mr. Varadkar's intransigence on me. We wouldn't be in this situation if Varadkar had overreached himself in terms of insisting on an unworkable backstop so that he could break up the United Kingdom.
We wouldn't be in this situation if we didn't have Brexit, Jim.
In the pickle, where he's the man, as the little boy at the direction of Brussels, that's going to have to erect border checkpoints. That is of his own making. And if he wants to roll back now and talk to the United Kingdom government about alternative arrangements, then let him do it.
Okay.
But do not seek to put the blame for that on those who are willing to discuss alternative arrangements, because when it was the man, Varadkar, who wouldn't discuss.
Your phone is breaking up, Jim. Your mobile phone's breaking up. I think you're on some dopey speakerphone. Thank you very much indeed, Jim Allister. Well, let's get your reaction this morning. 03030 80 55 55. James and Temple Patrick. Morning, James.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Harsh and Finn going to react to this. I'm sure they've reacted to this already, to be fair to them, but let's just find out what their comments are since Leo Varadkar has said this. I think we've been in touch with the Sinn Féin press office about this, or we certainly will be. We have been in touch with them. What are they going to say about checkpoints at the border? Go ahead, James. What?
I'm just gobsmacked to what Jim Allister has just said, because he was the very one on Nolan Live said, nobody will put up a border. We don't want it, they don't want it, nobody will do it. And now he's turned that around to saying, well, it's all Leo Varadkar's fault. So he can't sit on both sides of the fence. And the biggest thing about all of this is with a no deal going through Parliament at the minute, this is supposition, because by Monday, if the Lords sign through the bill, there will be no exit of the EU without a deal. So we are talking supposition here rather than a necessary fact. But Jim Allister cannot say what he is saying without being challenged. He is just looking at the union at any cost, and he doesn't care one way or the other.
Are you concerned, James?
I'm not concerned now there is a no-deal bill going through Parliament, because that will mean we cannot leave the EU without a deal. So the no-deal threat of any checkpoints on the border dissipates once that is brought into law. So we have to be practical about what is the reality of the situation we're in. Now, whenever we have an election, if we have an election, et cetera, we then have to turn around and start saying, OK, what is the way out of this? And the only way out of it is with some form of deal, because we will not legally be able to leave the EU without one, because that's now passed into law. Well, will be as of Monday when the Lords sign off the bill.
James, thank you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, we're talking about the animals crossing the border. I was just going to say to Mr. Allister there, the south of Ireland don't need the Irish cattle, sheep, pigs, whatever, to cross the border, because there's plenty of their own and they could live happily without them. And the only people would suffer would be our own farmers, our own fishermen and people like that. And Mr. Allister also keeps saying, like the Tories, it's our country and it's one country. If we're one country, we're going to lose Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. We'd be called the United Kingdom.
I just think it's staring...
People like UEFA or FIFA, well, look at this, there's too many football teams. We're going to have one football team to represent.
I just think there's a huge point here staring us in the face.
Yes,
the Taoiseach last night has now talked about checkpoints near the border. So just interpret that as checkpoints at a border. At the point at which there are checkpoints, there is a border. I think we can all agree on that. All right.
Yes.
So these checkpoints, what are they going to look like? Who's going to man them? Once they're being manned, are those people going to need protection? Are they going to need armoury around them?
No, there will be no such thing like that.
Well, if there's no such thing like that, do you not think they're going to be a security threat? Do you not think those people could be targeted by dissidents?
No, because if Britain wants to go it alone, if I was Europe, I would say, go ahead, leave, and I would stop all imports and exports from Britain and leave them on their own. People like myself and my own colleagues in the North, we will suffer, but we're willing to suffer. to stop the British telling us okay. what to do.
Listen, I want to come back to this story in a moment or two. We're getting loads of calls in on this today. 03030 80 55 55.